Okay, so today we're going to try to finish Daf Daf. We're going to try to finish Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis, and tomorrow we'll get to Dam Bisulim. That is the plan. So I did mention that we'll talk about the week before the wedding and all that, but let's save that for last because it's the least halachic and least important, I guess. And there was just a 10-minute halacha share in it, so if you really need to know, you can go check that out. So let's save that to last. Let's get into what the Shulchan Aruch actually does talk about first, and then we'll maybe go back to that time permitting. First of all, we'll talk about when a wedding is delayed, which the Shulchan Aruch talks about, and then what if a bias mitzvah doesn't happen right away, which is obviously very, very common. When a couple gets married, and the bias mitzvah does not happen on the first night. Sometimes there are couples that ask a shayla that they dafka don't want to have bias mitzvah on the first night. So is that permissible? Is that something we should be advising for or against? So let's start with delaying a wedding. So the Mordechai in Shavuos, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, says that if a wedding is delayed, then you need a new shivanekiyum as soon as they decide on a new date, because a couple had given up on the possibility on the knowledge of when they're going to get married, so they have that knowledge kicks in again. So now they're going to need a new shivanekiyum. There's a new chimud that is created by that. So the Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas among the balei trisin. He says that what if the wedding was only delayed by a day or two? Right, so we just say that if they're just not getting married when they thought they were going to get married, but it was just another day or two till they figured it out. So when it wasn't a significant delay, do you still need Shivan Nikiyim? Any paskins lechumra? They still need Shivan Nikiyim. That's what he concludes lechumra, and the raya is from the lashon of kishiyispashu v'yashlimu, which sounds like sheyispashu v'yashlimu mikol v'kol. That only when everything is taken care of, not before that. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, im dachu hanisu in machlas ezo siba, afal pi shiyashu shivinakim, shichalaksav leishiv shivinakim, if they delayed the wedding for whatever reason, so even though there already was a shivinakim, you're going to need another shivinakim. And then we'll get to the Ramah a little bit later on. The Taz has a discussion in this Siv Katan Vav about what happens if they decide immediately to make the on a new wedding date. Is that also included in this? So the Bach, which is pointed out by the Shach and the Taz, says that if they called the wedding off and later decided to get married, then it's obvious you need a new shivanekiyum. The chiddush over here is that they just delayed the wedding, meaning that it wasn't they called the wedding off and they said, "Oh, we're not going to get married," and then they got re-engaged. No, the chiddush over here is they didn't get re-engaged. They were always engaged. They were not going to call it off for whatever reason. They had to delay the wedding. Someone got sick. Someone was unable to make it. Something happened where they had to delay the wedding. Jewish history has enough examples of things that have come up that we weren't always able to do things on the schedule that we want to. So what's the basis of this need for a new shivanekiyum? So the Bach, the Shach, Chachmas Adam, point out that if the wedding was never cancelled, there isn't really a new moment of chimud, but you have the rush's secondary chimud, right? Meaning if this is all building off of what we learned the first day of the siman, that the rush holds that there's a double chimud. There's this initial excitement of chimud, and then there's the build-up. So the ongoing chimud, which requires a constant bedikos, and that's why you need to do bedikos during the shivanekiyum according to the rush, that ongoing chimud will continue to be ongoing as they set a new wedding date. And then says the Ramah, a very great chiddush of the Ramah, that even if she continued to do bedikos every day, lomahani, it's still not going to work. Why not? Meaning, if the whole idea is that there's this ongoing chimud, and that's why the Rush says you need to do bedikos during Shiva Nikiyan, right? The initial chimud, okay, we assume that there was automatically dam. But the ongoing chimud, we don't assume there's automatically dam. It's taken care of by bedikos. So the Ramah says, even though this is only a result of an ongoing chimud, your bedikos aren't going to help. The fact that you had bedikos each day after the wedding was delayed is not going to help. So why in the world not? So the Shach in Siv Katan Vav, points out that once they delay the wedding, we're concerned that she's not going to be careful to do all of the bedikos properly. We're afraid that even though bedikos would work for ongoing chimud, but if she doesn't even know that she's necessarily getting married that week or anytime soon, maybe she won't take the bedikos so seriously. It's hard to understand. If you look in the Gilyon Marsha, right? The Gilyon Marsha writes, who suffered mishum chibud lo chashinu lo chashinu daik li zahen? Yeah, he says, aval zeinu muvan. Da gam bebadka pamachas toch zayin sagya. Meaning, what kind of bedikas do you need already? A bedika once during all of Shiva Nikim works. That's enough. So you're going to say this woman's doing bedikas every single day. And that's not good enough. Meaning, mehechitesi, just because she doesn't know for sure that she's getting married. Right? What does the Shach say? He says, that maybe she's not going to think to be so careful about her bedikos. So the Gilyon Marsha has trouble with this. What do you mean? Even one bedika alone would have been good enough. So in the Sidrei Tara, he suggests that misveka lo badka shapir. That because of the suffix, she's not going to do a good bedika, but it's more than that. Sidrei Tara says, and because of that, she generally lacks an awareness that she's even in her Shiva Nikiyan. It's lo ramya anavsha. She doesn't even think of herself as being experiencing the Shiva Nikiyan right now, as opposed to a woman who's during the Shiva Nikiyan in general. At least she knows she's in her Shiva Nikiyan, so she knows to be on guard for a hargasha. So the fact that this woman is doing bedikos while the wedding is delayed, the reason the Shach thinks that's not good enough, even though during a regular Shiva Nikiyan one bedika would be good enough, is because this woman's not in Shiva Nikiyan. Her Shiva Nikiyan are over. She's just doing ongoing bedikos. And when a woman is not in the mindset of Shiva Nikiyan, then it's not going to protect against Dam Chiva. That's what the Shach means, that her bedikos aren't going to be properly. It means mindset. It doesn't mean that there's something different about her, because her mindset's not going to be the same, and she's not in the mindset of Shiva Nikiyan. That's how the Sidrei Tara seems to understand, which the Rav Azar points out sounds a lot like what? That idea that it's about mindset, that Shiva Nikiyan is about mindset, sounds a lot like the Mi'il Tzedakah. Right? What was the Mi'il Tzedakah? We've quoted, we haven't seen it yet, because we're not there yet, Kuf Tzad Yivav. What's the Mi'il Tzedakah? Oh, and remember what the Mi'il Tzedakah is? You have to be aware, exactly, that a lack of awareness of Shiva Nikiyan means you're not in Shiva Nikiyan. So it sounds a lot like the Mi'il Tzedakah, but that's very difficult, because according to the Torah Sashlam and in Sivkatan Gimel that we saw, we're primarily talking about a katana over here, right? So you would, she would never know if she had a hargasha. I mean, the whole point is, a woman who's not in the mindset of Shiva Nikiyan is never going to be cognizant of a hargasha. Over here, we're allowing this for a katana. Rav Azmer further points out that the Sidrei Tara is similar to a Chuvus Chasam Sofer. He points out there's a Chuvus Chasam Sofer about a woman who has Tzayim Harbet. She has a lot of wounds, and there's no chance of her getting a clean bedika because of all of the cuts and the scrapes or whatever that she has, all of the internal wounds that she has. So what should she do about Shiva Nikiyan? So nowadays there's something called the Bodekas. Right, that they have a woman who's a trained nurse or something to look inside and see that any blood that's coming is only coming from these cuts and everything else is clean. So the Chasam Sofer suggested that her focus, and the Rav Azar quotes, that her focusing and paying attention that she's not being margish can count as a bedika instead of actually doing a bedika. We're going to have to see when we look at Sadivav what that might be based on and whether that's, you know, something that we could ever actually be samech on.
What does that mean? Meaning
that for her to say, I'm fully focused now on what's happening with my body, I don't feel any hargasha whatsoever, that's her bedikah. Meaning all that Shiva Nikiyan requires is A, that you don't see dam, and B, that you do some something that can count as a svira. So what's her svira? Her svira is stopping and focusing, and that's her svira. So Rav Hazan points out that this Sidrei Tara sounds a lot like the Chassam Sofer, but the Sidrei Tara is more intense than the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer just says she has to be focused like once, you know, once each day, or day one and day seven, however often you need bedikos, that's how she needs to be focused. Sidrei Tara is saying, aside from bedikos, there has to be a constant awareness. So it may not be an absolute focus, but a constant awareness of being in Shiva Nikiyam.
So the bedikah is not only working for like that moment, but for checking like what you could have missed in the past. And how could that awareness of right now not having a hargasha accomplish the same thing?
Yeah, so that's why I said it that way. That what you have to say is that awareness is just a maisa svira.
It's not saying it's not like an awareness. You have an awareness all day? Like you don't have to really
so that's the difference. Meaning, what the Sidrei Tara is suggesting is more like the Milta Tzedakah, which you need to be having a general awareness all day. You can't ever think you're not in Shiva Nikiyam. The Chassam Sofer seems to be focused on a more like targeted, concentrated awareness that will be a Maisa Bedikah. That will be like a Maisa
Sphere.
Like
what happened an hour ago?
That we'll have to talk about. That will hold off to Kuf Tzad Yivav. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make over here is that the Shach seems to assume that the reason the Ramah holds bedikos aren't going to work when the wedding is delayed, the bedikos aren't going to be enough when the wedding is delayed, is because a woman won't focus. Gilim Rasha says, I don't know how much focus you already need, right? Because you only need one bedikah during Shiva Nikiyam. So Sidrei Tara's answer is, It's not that she's not going to be able to do a proper bedikah. It's that she's not even aware that she's in Shiva Nikiyam. And when you have that total lack of focus, not just lack of knowledge of even being in Shiva Nikiyam, then the bedikos are not going to help. That's all within the assumption that the Bach and the Shach and the Chacham Sadam and others make, and the Sidrei Tara make, that the whole chimud that we're concerned about over here is an ongoing chimud, that there's no new moment of chimud. Not everyone agrees with that. Chavis Das disagrees. Chavis Das and the Masas Binyamin seem to assume that there's a brand new chimud that's created. Nafkamina would be if she, significant nafkamina, right? Meaning, if you assume there's a brand new chimud, then what the Ramah says is mamish pashut, of course. Doing a bedika later on is doing a bedika between, you know, each day is not enough. If there's a brand new chimud, then you know there's new dam. Of course, you need a new Shiva Nikiyam. If the wedding was delayed 5 days and she did a bedikah each of those 5 days, it's worthless because you need Shiva Nikiyam. If you hold that there's a brand new chimud, there's a brand new moment where chimud was created. Where let's say a woman did a bedikah in the morning, right? And they called off the wedding in the afternoon. And then they called it back on later that afternoon. Right, they decided on the Yeshiva World News, they pulled the color away. I don't know why that makes world news, but everyone shows up to the wedding, and Kala's family says, he's not learning in Kailil, he can't marry this Isfar. And then they say, no, but he'll support her, so they bring her back. Right? So what happens then? So is there a new chimud? So if the whole idea was that when a wedding is canceled, or delayed rather, that there is no nuchim, it's just the ongoing chimud, she already did a bedikah that day. So that should cover her. But if you hold that it's not just the ongoing chimud, it's that there's a new moment of chimud, there's a new, where it definitely happens, or with choshesh that it happened, so then you're going to need a new bedikah for that. And not just a new bedikah, probably a new seven clean days, a new Shiva Nikiyam for that. So that's as far as just delaying the wedding. Much more common is the other topic. We'll take questions first.
I'm just a little struggling with the conception between the ongoing chimud and the new chimud. In other words, if there's new blood, what's the difference whether it was ongoing or...
Yeah, so the new chimud is, we assume, happened. The ongoing, we do bedikas to make sure it didn't happen. I'm saying a bedika doesn't help.
It's increasingly likelihood as you approach... You're saying it's still preventative?
Right. Meaning, a bedikah doesn't help for that moment of chimud. Right? That moment, you just assume it happened. And now you need to become tahor. once that moment is passed, and now it's just about building excitement, so then you just need bedikos to make sure it's not happening. That's the concept of the rush, as far as I said. You have a question before? No. Okay. What if the bias mitzvah doesn't happen right away? So this is obviously something that's very, very common. So the Trumas Hadashin, quoted in the Beis Yosef, Trumas Hadashin is a narration of Gimel. Trumas Hadashin writes, Hora echad min ha-gadolim. One of the gadolim paskin, she'asur l'siyachirim ha'ol v'lo ba'ol adayim. They didn't have bia, they can't, and she becomes a nida, they can't have yichud. V'chad me'er bosa hitir, but someone else was matir, v'yishu v'dikiv v'dechazin, and v'lo takif yisri, v'yishu zub, she'asa chupa, v'lo ba'ol leha. Because look, if they got married, and she was tahora, and they didn't have Bia, it means he doesn't have such a big Yetzer Hara for her. They were mutter to each other. Why didn't he sleep with her? Because he doesn't have such a big Yetzer Hara for her. And therefore, lo chashin li yichud yidei. We don't have to worry about him having yichud with her. Devade lo yavar v'lo tokif yitzrei. Because he's for sure not going to violate anything, because we see that his Yetzer Hara is not strong. So Trumas Hadashin then brings some rayas to be matir, but then concludes that Amachmir Tavol of Bracha. Darkei Moshe brings the Sefer Truma Kedivrei Matir. Sefer Truma Kedivrei Matir, that you could be matir. So this is like a very big deal now, right? The Beis Yosef tells us that any couple that doesn't have bia before she becomes a nida, which by the way happens a lot, that a woman will become a nida before they've successfully consummated the marriage. Why does it happen? Okay, so you could speak to therapists that could explain to you the psychology and the physiology and why it is that these things happen. It happens to be that we once had the Chassan and Kala, the Chassan teachers of the, I think they did separately, the Kala teachers in the Five Towns area had a very renowned sex therapist come speak to us, and he was going through from Guy, and he was going through all of these issues. And one of the things that he described, which is very, very mistaver, is that the way the human body reacts in order to be able to have tashmish is affected very much by a person's brain. It's affected very much by a person's emotions. So particularly for a woman, true for a man also, but particularly so for a woman. That a woman's body, for her body to do what it needs to do, which we're not going to get into the details right now, but in order to allow for tashmish to happen, she needs to, it's best if she not be experiencing any negative emotions. So we said, like, what are negative emotions? He said negative emotions are like anxiety, fear, pain, exhaustion. Meaning if you were to like make a list of everything that Kala feels on the wedding night, right, you've just listed all of the negative emotions. So it's very likely that they're not going to be successful in consummate. And that's aside from that, the guy very often has issues. Guy sometimes thinks that there's never going to be an issue with me because I've always been aroused by everything. Ad rabati yetzer hara, I've been fighting Yerav Zola. I've been aroused by everything always. And now I didn't mean it to come out that way, but you know what I'm saying. And now. Of course, there's a woman I love, and I'm so attracted to her. Of course, you know, it's been so difficult getting through the engagement of Bechulei. But sometimes there's fear of hurting her, and there's other things. There's sometimes, you know, the brain is a tricky, tricky thing. So very often it happens that a couple doesn't consummate the marriage on the first night. I would say at least 50% of the time. I never did an exact poll, but it's very, very, very common. More common than not. So it's also possible that it goes a few days like that, and a few days later she may be getting her period. So a woman might become a nida before they ever consummate her marriage. I once had a chassan that I always ask chassanim, or I try to remember to ask chassanim a few months after they get married, if I teach the chassan, what didn't I tell you? Like what sort of Eitza, would you, you know, pay it forward? You know, when you were the korban, I didn't tell you everything you needed to know, so now pay for it. Tell me what I should be telling future chassanim. So one chassan said that this nekuda, that he assumed that that for sure there's going to be a bria rishon on the first night. I said, well, I have to call you out on that. I did tell you that. I told you that that at least half the people do not have a birishon on the first night. So he said, yeah, yeah, but I thought that was just nerds. And he's like, he said, these are his words. He's like, I'm really cool. I was the captain of the hockey team. Those are the 11 words. That like, I do not believe that there's any correlation between the expertise in floor hockey and the maybe ice hockey, but expertise in floor hockey and your chance of success of consummating the marriage on the first night. So anyway, so this is obviously a very, very common shayla. So Truma Sadeshin tells us that a machmir tovel of bracha, Darki Basha quotes Sefer Truma Pasuk Kedivrei Matir. So what happens over here? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see. Avru b'kanez sevdalu. Avru b'kanez tovz manzeh. B'chein chasun shepirsa kalaso nida kodem sheba aleha. If she became a nida before the bia, lo yisyachid ima. They can't have yichud. He's got to sleep amongst the men, she amongst the women. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, Maisan Tahara, Kishanasa, Velo Baaleha, Upirsa Nida Acharkach. In our case, where she was Tahara, was not a Chubas Nida. Chubas Nida Vadai, Hu Yashamir Anashim, Yishayna Ben Anashim. But if it was not a Chubas Nida, she only became a Nida afterwards, before they consummated the marriage, Ein Tzricha Shimur Od. Then you don't need any Shmira anymore. Obviously, it can't have Bia, she's a Nida, but there's no Isra Yichud. V'amach mitzvah lov bracha. So now what? So the Ramah quotes the Matirim, but amach mitzvah lov bracha. So Rav Vazner writes, v'chein aminug lahachmir, v'ein makom lahakel b'dvarim eilu. That there's no room to be makel in such things. Wow. So now we're going to have to figure out what that means exactly. What I mean by that is, what needs to happen before she becomes a nida in order to remove this isur yichud, this hamach mitavol of bracha? And what's the nature of this isur yichud? Is it a regular isur yichud that follows the rules of isur yichud you have with everybody else? Or is there some modification over here? I mean, let's say the couple decided that they want to go to their apartment and they're zocha to a two-bedroom apartment, so they each want to sleep in separate rooms. Right? Is that good enough as far as this isra yichud? If you look weiter in the Ramah goes on to say, Yeshom shasu liyachid yom biyom kmo b'layla vein tzarek liyosh tei shmiros rakhu bein ha'anashim ovi bein ha'anashim vim einam yeshenim mecheder echad einam tzrichim shimur klal. If they don't sleep in the same room, then they don't need any shmir. What does that mean exactly? Is a two-bedroom apartment, each of them in a separate bedroom, good enough as far as this couple being able to have yichud, so you don't have to, you know, have them move back into the dormitory?
Is the Shachan understanding is they didn't even try? Like, shalom ba'al elekid.
So let's get into this now. Meaning, what's the svara to be makel? That he doesn't have a yetzer hara for him. L'chora, the fact that they tried and weren't successful, should be smart to be machmir. Because you see, he has the yetzer hara for her, but it didn't work.
But then it could also work like the opposite way. Meaning, is it possible to argue like that? Would it be considered possible salvo if they tried and there was just like...
Oh, so good. So meaning that's what we have to get to. What's called having bia as far as this is concerned. Right? So having bia as far as Kuf Tzad Gimel is concerned is a different story. What's called having bia as far as this is concerned, as far as the Isur Yichud? So let's try to get through everything. First, the nature of the Isur Yichud. So in general, the Isur Yichud, Isur Daraisa and Isur Drabanan in general. Right? So what do we know? The sugi at the end of Maseches Kiddushin has that unusual drasha from the Pesukim about Mesis. Kiyosischa achicha ben imecha, the Gemara says, ben ha-mesis, ben ha-mesis, when only your half-brother from your mother's side is going to be mesis, you're not your half-brother from your father. No, it's telling us the din that ben misyachi lemimo, just like the words ben and imecha are right next to each other, and if you block out all the other words, they're all alone next to each other. So you see that a ben and an aim are allowed to be alone with each other, but all the other arayos are not allowed to be alone with each other. Adin da araysa. I would have seen that Gemara and said, obviously just an asr. asmachta, and it's really a tindrabanan, because there's no way that's an actual drasha from a pasuk. Yet the Gemara elsewhere is very, very clear that yichud arayos is daraisa, avod zara, daflam vav. The Gemara is very clear that yichud arayos is daoraisa. David Ubeis Dino, right? We mentioned the name Tamar the other day. David Ubeis Dino, where goes there on Yichud and Pnuya. Why? Because the Maisa with Amnon and Tamar, that David thought that a Tzenua like Tamar is going to suffer such a fate that he has to do something about it. And then Yichud with a Goya, that's already with a non-Jew, that's already Beis Din of Shammai Vehillo, where goes there. So is Nida one of the Araisa? I mean, what type of Isra are we dealing with over here? So that really depends on whether Nida is considered one of the Araisa. So that we go back to, right? That was our first year, I think, right? Was it? I think
so.
Isra and Tumah. Ah, okay. So I guess, what? It was in the Maramakomos of the first year. It was in the Maramakomos. Okay, so there's an angle when the Nida is Arayah, the type of Makom. Okay, so is Nida considered Arayah? So the Rambam, in the first paragraph of Hilchos Ishus and in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Isuri Bia, says that basically anything that would be a chi of karis is a right. So Nida qualifies, right? It's a right, because anything that's chi of karis is a right. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYashar says, no, a right means somebody who is mutaris to some people and asura to other people, like an Ishus Ish. She's mutaris labayla, and she's asura to other people. Or like a sister, a mother. She's muteres to people that she's muteres to the rest of the world, but not to her close relatives. That's the definition of arayos. Anida, asura to everybody. Right? So since Anida is asura to everybody, Anida is not arayos, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So yichud with Anida, according to the Rambam, should be yichud araisa. However, even when you're dealing with Yichud Arayos, it's not always the Arayos. Because sometimes, Tosfos and Sanhedrin points out in Lamed Zayin, that sometimes you have this concept of Pas Besalo. Right? You have a Svara of Pas Besalo. Sometimes Pas Besalo is enough of a Svara to take away the Isser and Mikol V'Kol, to totally get rid of the Isser. For example, the Isser of Yichud with Anida, when you're married to her and you've been with her and you're just regular on the monthly basis. Right? So what happened to the Isra Yichud? It goes away. You have no Isra Yichud with Ishto Nida. Right? When your wife is a Nida, you don't have to move out of the apartment. Right? That's not why people buy second homes. They buy second homes because they're rich. But there's no reason to move out of the apartment. Right? When a woman becomes Nida. Why? Because there's Pas Besalo. How do we define Pas Besalo? That they have been mutter to each other and they will again be mutter to each other. What if you have like a partial Pas Besalo? They will be, but they haven't been. So maybe that's enough to knock it down to a Drabana. Maybe that's enough to knock it down to Yichud Drabana. But the halacha is not just that there's an Issa Yichud. The way the Issa Yichud was formulated was that Hu Yashin Bein HaNashim Yishen Bein HaNashim. So far we haven't solved any problems. We said that it might only be Yichud Drabana. Guess what? We observed Yichud Drabana also. Right, and Amachmir Tov Alav Bracha. Whatever the level of Issa Yichud is, the Ramah was aware of it. Right, whatever he held, the nature of the Issa, he was aware of it, and still said Amachmir Tov Alav Bracha. What does it mean? Hu Yashem Ben Anashim, Yishena Ben Anashim. So this is also Machlokas Rishon. The Ravid in Balei Nefesh, Rabbi Sablovsky spells this out very nicely in his Sefer. The Ravid in Balei Nefesh says that it's not a regular Isra Yichud. If Chazal wanted to say it's an Isra Yichud, they would have said Isra Yichud. But that's not what they say. They say that he should sleep with the men and she should sleep with the women. And there are two nafkaminas. Number one, that it's only at night. The Gemara specifically addresses what to do at night. But in the daytime, they want to be all alone in a room with a locked door, that's fine. And number two, it's not enough to not be in the same room together at night. They also need shomrim. Hu yashin bein ha'anashim, hi yashena bein anashim. They need shomrim to actually be guarding them. So it's one kula and one chumra. They have a heter yichud during the daytime, says the Ravid, but at night, yichud gets much more strict. The Rush, in the third paragraph of Ma'id Kat, on Siman Lamed Vav, says, no, it's a regular yichud. It's just a matter of speech. To call it Hu Yashem Ben Anashim, Yishena Ben Anashim. It's regular Issa Yichud. So it applies both day and night, and you only need one shomer, you don't need shomrim. That's perfectly fine. So the Ramah over here is machmir for both, right? Because what does Ramah say? That they can't have yichud even during the day. That you need a He quotes both Deos, the Ramah, and he says in the minute it's be super machmir. Now you put a katan with the guy katana. I was once at a chasana that was a chupas nida. The chasan was a man in his 40s getting married for the first time, and he was a physician, and he was not satisfied with the research on the safety of birth control pills. So he insisted that she not take birth control pills to control her cycle. So he got a chupas nida. You got what you deserve. So at the wedding, I was not the Masada Kedushin, but at the wedding, they had to have a kid, you know, for the Yichud room, to be in the Yichud room. The Masada Kedushin was not a very experienced Masada Kedushin. No one is very experienced with Chuppas Nida, but he was not very experienced, I think, in general. And I remember they danced then to the Yichud room, they got to the Yichud room, the Masada Kedushin started screaming, "Where's Maishala?" Everyone's like, "Maishala, the kid? What are you talking about?" "Yeah, 8-year-old Maishala, I need Maishala. Where's Maishala?" It's like, it's like embarrassing. But okay. So that's so the minig is that night. So that's what the Rama says. That we know it's machmir like both days. But Rama says that as long as they don't sleep a cheder echad, they don't need shimur klal. So what does that mean? So Rav Vosner discusses this in Shevet Halevi, and he says, "Harbei tovim b'lashon zeh." He says a lot of people make a mistake from this lashon of the Ramah. The lashon of Rashba Torah Zabayis who shnei batim. The Ramah is paraphrasing Rashba Torah Zabayis, and Torah Zabayis Rashba says you have to be in two different houses, and the Ramah says two different rooms. V'chein uvul lashon beis Yosef. The Ramah had to lashon chadarim. And he says, "Vimki ba'al ma'akavan ashava." Normally, batim and chadar mean the same thing. Aval kan yer the bayis dafka. Over here, he says, "I think it really means a separate bayis." Meaning, normally, bayis and cheder mean the same thing in terms of a chiv mezuzah, right? Every room needs a mezuzah. Al mezuzahs beisecha, right? Every room is a bayis. Da bayis echad ubot shnei chadar beina pesach nol behem ein lecha yichud gadol mizeh. Wow, he says, because if you have one apartment and the door to the outside of the apartment is locked, and there are two bedrooms in the apartment, that's the greatest, most awful yichud you could have. I mean, that's yichud. If you have the textbook definition of yichud, that's yichud. Is that so pashut? You have two people in separate rooms. They're not together in a room. That's automatically yichud. So I seem to recall I once came across a tshuva from Chaim Volozhin. Not Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin has a tshuva. They have the four-volume set of tshuvas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. And he thought not that way. He thought that the definition of yichud means two people that are in a room together. Which is the chor, the pashtas. Right? The Gemara is at the end of Kedushin. I talk about a cheder apnimi and bayis apnimi, bayis achitza, and that the chashash is, when is it usher? Because the only way to get out is to go through the room. They have access to each other. Shouldn't that automatically be yichud? Apparently, says Chaim Berlin, yichud is only when two people are in a room together. I remember I told it to Rav Shekhar, he thought that was crazy. He thought that it's for sure a violation of yichud in two separate rooms if there's no.
That doesn't require like locking one of the doors or something like that. Good.
So says Rav Azar, ubizmanam hayu abatim asuyim shal kol cheder hayu pesach yitzil lechatzeh. So it used to be the two doors, the two rooms, even though they were in the same building, they didn't open up into each other. They both opened out into a chatzah. And that makes them like two separate houses. But inside a house, it doesn't help to have two rooms. Even if they're not adjacent to each other, even if the door doesn't open directly from one to the other, you have to go through a hallway or a living area. He says in a hotel where the rooms are not attached to each other, and you get from one to the other by going through the hallway, that's two rooms. That would be mutter. Vim sogeres mi bifnim, half will be sheb prozder, yecholim li pagesh, yesh lachshav kishomer echa. Ooh, locking one door, that's like a shomer echa. I call upon him kisnif litzarif. At least you can use that as a sniff. Lo'od shmira imechman. He says, if you want to get away without a katan and a katan, you want to have just a katan with him and give her privacy, she can lock the door bifnim. That will be her katan. Okay, that's the next thing we have to discuss. There's another major sniff lahakal over here, and this is going to be the big one. We haven't really seen much as far as sniff lahakal. So far, the best we could do is say that maybe if they go into their apartment and they have one of them locks the door, the other one could have a katan with them. It doesn't help a great deal. Right? Okay, so they don't have to move back into the dormitories. That's so far we got. But can you imagine the embarrassment? A couple's been married for 3 days. They've been in their apartment, and they're in the middle of Shev Brachas, and now they have to arrange that he's going to move back into the dorm. Deal with YU housing, and you don't want to. And she's going to go into the. There are three approaches to the shayla of what generates this. Is Yichud the Taz and Sifkat Zayin quotes the Raya Lahat here. It's from a Gemara Baba Kabbat of Chav Gimel and Beis. Gemara Baba Kabbat talks about a Shara Muad. Shara Muad Shara'a Shvarim Shalosh Pamim Velo Nagach Chozer L'Tamusa. You have a Shara Muad that encounters other oxen three times and doesn't do anything. Now it becomes a short time again. We don't assume that he was calm for a while but is going to get riled up again. We assume that he changed his nature. So once he proves himself to be calm, the shor I'm talking about now, right, we stick with that. We assume that he's going to remain calm. So the Taz says, so what's the raya? So this chasan and kala have been together for 3 days. They didn't have bia. So he's proven himself to not have a yetzer hara. So we don't assume that his yetzer hara is now going to grow. The Taz rejects that raya because he says stam sharim or b'cheska shimur kaimim, meaning the average typical shar doesn't go around goring it. So it had a crazy week where it was acting like a lunatic. But a guy who doesn't have a yetzara for his wife, he's the one acting like a lunatic. Meaning having yetzara is the normal state for for having a taiva for one's wife is a normal state for a man. Also, Gemara Nivamus Kufir Alfam Beis Ad Shloshim Yom Muki Anafsha. That we assume that there's a buildup of taiva. The Gemara assumes that up until 30 days it's possible for a person to hold back, and it's possible that he didn't yet do yibum. But once it's already been 30 days and they've been together, there's no way. Meaning apparently it's not that, oh, if he made it 30 days, he can make it forever. No, if he made it 30 days, he's about to break. Right? That's the. So the Taz says, so the same over here. So the Taz concludes, got to be machmir, can't allow yichud. Comes along the shach in the kutas hakesef, and he disagrees with the Taz. Says the shach, the achinami stam b'nei adam b'cheskas kashus. Meaning he says, what Taz, you're telling me that stam b'nei adam have a taiva, and that's why it's not similar to a stam shar, which is not going to act like a crazy shar. He says, no, stam b'nei adam are kosher and aren't going to violate bia with a nida. So if he goes back to being stam ben adam, he's going to be kosher. I mean, he says the Shach in the Kudus HaKesef, And don't tell me from all the Marim Kamos that will tell you ain't up a Shabbos Larayos, and for sure when people are alone together, they for sure had Bia, and in Yevamos he for sure did Yibum, because he's allowed to do Yibum. Meaning when she's Muteris to him, it doesn't ruin his Cheskes Kashrus. So the fact that he didn't sleep with her for 30 days doesn't mean that he's not going to. No, he's very likely going to, because he's allowed to. But the Cheskes Kashrus will tell you that this guy's not going to sleep with the woman, with his wife when she's in Nida. So that's the Shach's Tain on the Tad. Comes on Rav Vazner in Shevet HaLevi, in Shuri Shevet HaLevi. He says, what do you mean? You're telling me that the guy is a Cheskes Kashrus? And Cheskes Kashrus means that he's not going to be with his wife when he has such a taiva for her? He says, no, you're misunderstanding how Chazal viewed the Yetzer Hara, particularly for physical intimacy. He says, Matzina da Torah v'Chazal lo is chashu b'cheskos tzidkus le'inyin yichud. We don't say, oh, tzadik, you could have yichud. Yeah, cheskos tzidkus. Shei mutal is yachid ma'achol es hasuros. Right? Says Rav Hazer. You'll have yichud ma'achol, lo chashim shiyochal. Because you have a cheskos tzidkus. And what happens at the end of Kiddushin? Holy Amorayim that said I can't be trusted. Okay, Machlokas Rishonim over there. Lok Sherim Kagona, no, right? Machlokas Rishonim, whether that's to be taken literally, that they're actually not Ksherim, or they're just being Machmer al Atzman. But still, there's obviously a greater reason for chashash. Then he says, "Divchi misha is yachin and misha kame yam v'lo ba'al leha hutra lo yichud." If a person, let's say, says, is just discovered there's something called yichud, and he has a deadline at work, and he's been working late at night in the office with his supervisor, who's a woman, and they're trying to get out this report or whatever they're working on, I don't know, whatever they do, right? And someone just told him, oh, that sounds like yichud. He's like, what's yichud? So now he asks a shayla. So should the rabbi say, well, for the last week you've been working alone at night with her and nothing has happened. So now you have a cheskes kashrus, and we can assume that you have no yitzhar for this woman, and therefore yichud goes away. Not in our yeshiva, rabbi is not going to, hopefully, not going to pass in that way. Right? That's terrible. You would never say such a thing. So Rav Vazner doesn't, he's not sensitive to the, I mean, he says, Sarachin on the Shach. Okay. And therefore, we need to be machmir. Says the Shach in Sivkat Niralef. Nowadays, that a lot of people delay the Bia Rishona based on a minhag. It's a terrible minhag, stupid idea, but people think that there's a minhag to delay the Bia Rishona. It's a minhag shtus, but that's why they're doing it. It doesn't prove that they've overcome their Yetzer Hara. And it's more than just a machmir tavachas bracha. They really need shmira. So Badei Shulchan quotes a Yamshel Shlomo in the first paragraph of Ksubis that says that even if they had Tchilas Bia, Ha'ara, there's still Isri Yichud once she becomes a Nida, because Lo Noch Yitzrei Adaya, because Yitzer Hara hasn't been satisfied yet. But the Shulchan quotes many other poskim who disagree and say that anything that counts as a halachic Bia in any context would be enough. Ooh, there's our Kula. If they tried and had at least Tchilas Bia, maybe that would be enough. Rav Vazner says, I think that makes a lot of sense. He quotes those who are machmir, and he says, "Min asvara nira, dekim da ara nikras bia bekal makom, kamosh chas rabbein tam kedushin daf yud tozir mamas kol, afkan shuhuska loshon baal velo baal haynu nami ara, vikem zeh shviras yetzer." Meaning, tchilas bia is all you need to make it pas pesalo. I mean, that's what we're trying to get over here. Trying to get to a point where there's pas pesalo. Pas pesalo means she's been muteres, she will be muteres. Rabbi Sablavsky writes that since the entire Isra Yichud is possibly only midrabanan, meaning using that original svara we had, there may be more room to be makil, particularly with the hara. In my experience dealing with young people who get married, it seems to me that very often the couple, after the first experience, is almost relieved to get a break before having to try again. I mean, even though in the long run, as part of a healthy marriage, there is obviously typhus and whatever, and that's good and it's healthy as the way it should be, but there's a lot of psychology at the very, very beginning, and a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. And as Rabbi Salaf says, you have to assess the situation. Most of the time, I think, people can very much be trusted. And even though they wouldn't verbalize, they wouldn't say it out loud like this, usually they're happy to be able to have a little bit of time where they don't have that pressure on them. But what if they didn't even have hara? What if they didn't even have tchilas bia? So the Chazon Ish says that you cannot rely on the Trumas Hashem, you know, the fact that they restrained themselves, because this couple tried, they just weren't successful. Meaning, even if you were noted to rely on the Trumas Hashem, if they tried and got nowhere, got zero, so then there's no room to be makil. Says the Chazon Ish, Taras Habayis, Vadya on page Tafsadi Dalit says that the Cheshav Ha'efod is Mekil based on the fact that they've experienced Kiruv Basa. That's enough Pas Pasala. Meaning, there are two ways to look at this over here. One way to look at it is the halacha is based on of whether you have Pas Pasala is based on whether Ba'al or Lo Ba'al. So Ba'al is defined, can be defined as Gemar Bia, or it could be defined as Hara. But you need one of those at least you need Hara. But the other way to look at it is, this is all psychology. This whole thing is psychology. We're trying to create a situation of Pas Pasala. Pas Pasala means Nach Yitzre. It means that his Yetzer Hara was satisfied in some way or another. Maybe Kiruv Basar, maybe attempted Bia is enough to create a sense of Nach Yitzre. Rav Avadya says that a rabbi has to judge each case independently, and whether the couple will likely overcome the Yetzer Hara. I think the minhag is to recommend that approach, not Chazon Ish's approach. And to take the approach that if there was an attempt, even though an attempt you would think should be worse, like Chazon Ish said, but if there was an attempt, that may have been Nach Yitzre, that may be enough for Nach Yitzre.
Yeah, this might be a little too graphic, but when we say that they tried, they didn't give it hard, what does that mean?
It means that there was zero penetration. Zero penetration. That happens a lot also. A lot of times they have no idea what happened. So then probably you could just be something that there must have at least been a tchilas bia. Because Baruch Hashem, Yisrael Kadoshimim, we don't have much experience with these things before we're married. And so a lot of times the couple has no idea what they're exactly experiencing, because they've never experienced it before. So they have to communicate with each other, try to get the best picture in their mind that they possibly can of what exactly happened, because it's difficult to answer a shayla when, you know, you get the call one day and the couple says, we have no idea what happened. Is she muteres? You know, like, I may need a little more information than that, right? So it's it would be a good idea for them to communicate with each other, which stam is always a good idea for couples to communicate with each other. Yeah, I mentioned to you guys, my wife told me that when she teaches kallahs, she feels like she's just sitting with a kallah saying, communicate, like, I'm like, good, that means you're a good kallah teacher, because that's the most important message, right, that they need to communicate well. Okay, that's as far as that. So we have 5 minutes to discuss the week before the wedding, or do we want to take some questions? Or yeah?
How much penetration is needed for Hara?
Not much.
Not much.
Not so satara, whatever. I don't think they'll really understand, but they'll really know. I think whatever, any penetration.
Was criticizing the minhag to delay?
Yeah.
So I read in Rabbi Willi's book that it was custom to say the wedding was
Rabbi Sabalevsky or?
There was 6 years Rabbi Sabalevsky, that if the wedding was on Friday, that they wouldn't have tashmish till Saturday night.
Ah, because that they would be machmir for the shita that Bia is also the Tchil B'Shabbos, even though the Gemara says explicitly that Bia B'Tchil B'Shabbos is mutter.
But But that's already an indication there was some practice.
Yes,
for delay.
Enochinami. That's a separate minute. Right. This is just talking about when a couple gets married to delay. A lot of times a couple will ask that they just don't want the pressure of it. I've only had in the last 5 years or so where couples ask this. It could be that prior to that, couples didn't ask questions, or it could be that there was less anxiety in the world, and people didn't, they were excited to be together and they weren't suffering anxiety over it. But it's a very, very common thing now, where a couple will say, can we just like have the night to just like hang out together and whatever, and not have that pressure on our heads. So you should recommend to couples, if they ask you this, that they should at least try. They don't have to try super hard, but they should at least try. And that way, they'll at least accomplish Kivur Basar, so they have something to be Samechan. Hopefully they'll accomplish Tchilas Bia, which you have a lot to be Samechan. Ideally, Gemar Bia, but that's not always a realistic hope. But that's the Mahalit.
That's only with Sad's problem of potentially if you go to the Yehuda, which Sad does the mitzvah.
The mitzvah I'm not so concerned about. I mean, as far as it being a BS mitzvah, because it's also so clear, so we'll have a BS mitzvah the next time.
And there's no issue.
But you have to be very careful that they should, meaning that you're going to want them to have a BS mitzvah before she becomes a nida.
Right.
So that's also something that normally a good kala teacher and doctor will work out with the kala in advance that she's not going to become a nida for a few days. Why don't they just make her nida the next day, and that way it will go quicker, she'll be able to go to the mikveh sooner. Because that's a stupid idea, because she may not be successful the first night. So you want to give her a few days leeway so that they can hopefully have a Gemar Bia. Usually it does happen within those first few days. Not always. Usually it does happen within those first few days. That's usually enough to,
Are you concerned that they might not know that you don't give them specific information about concepts of Gemar Bia? They might have to be Parish and then not know about it, then have to be Parish?
I think if you say that if you don't have Bia, then there may be an issue, and ask a question, so even if it's not a Gemar Bia, there's what to be Samechan with the Tchilas Bia.
But then there have to be Parish. Like, for instance, in other words, let's say that they will...
No, that's the next one, yeah. That's,
I'm saying, but if they're giving us information...
Oh, for sure you should give them information what a Gemar Bia is, but that's for the next one. Yeah, that for sure. That's what a Chassan and Kala teacher are really supposed to do, right? That's the last chassid, right? I mean, part of it. You go through what constitutes a Gemar Bia, and they're still not going to know. And that's why they still call and ask a shayla. But at least they know what they're looking for. They know they know to communicate and what they're looking to try to communicate and to try to figure out. But but that's obviously information that they need, and that's going to be tomorrow's topic, right? I don't know how long we're going to spend Kotzad Gimel. It's not very long. But that's going to be Bez Hashem tomorrow's topic. Okay, as far as seeing each other week before the wedding, they can see each other week before the wedding. I mean, it's got nothing to do with Dam Chimud. It's a minhag based on psychology. Rabbi Forrest has a whole discussion of it. It might be based on Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They say, supposedly, I mean, in Emes Yaakov, it says that based on Dam Chimud, this minhag developed, but it doesn't really approximate Dam Chimud, in any accurate way. It really depends on the couple. This is also just if you ever have chassan, if you ever have to advise people, it really depends on the couple. Some couples are better off, many, many couples are better off not seeing each other the week before the wedding. They're better off sort of like minimizing contact, not just to create the extra excitement of the wedding, which hopefully will be there anyway, but people are nervous, and when people are nervous, they say stupid things and crazy things and they act out of their minds, and weddings have been almost cancelled because of things that were said in the last week before the wedding. So on the other hand, I had one guy said to me, and this is just an example, it's not just that it's only one person, one guy said to me that whenever he's not with his kala, and this is just an anxiety issue that he had, he's always thinking, oh no, maybe she's not the right person, maybe I'm making a big mistake, maybe. And whenever he's with her, he's totally calm. And he's like, yeah, this is so obviously right for me. So like, you don't want him to have a week of, maybe I'm making the biggest mistake in the world before the wedding. So for someone like, for a couple like that, I would strongly recommend that they see each other the week before the wedding. Okay, have a great day, everybody.